Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. Great to come together and be able to sing about our Savior and Calvary. To know Him and have Him as your personal Savior. In Mark chapter 5, I'm going to Savior and Calvary. To know Him and have Him as your personal Savior. In Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read one of the many accounts of the Lord healing a person. And it's in verse number 25, Mark 5 and verse 25. We read this. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or power had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched thee?" And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." The Lord will bless the reading of His word. Somebody has said that every parable or every case of healing in the times of Jesus is a picture of salvation. Think of the many people that were healed. During the life of Christ, physically healed. There's a picture of salvation. We want to look at this particular case of this woman and see a beautiful picture here of salvation. Now, she had a terrible disease, a blood disease, and there was no cure for that disease apart from Christ. If you notice, we read that she had tried everything going in verse number 26 and nothing seemed to work. We'll look at that a little bit later. But she had a blood disease in verse 25. She had an issue of blood. It was a blood disease. And that's what sin is. Sin is a blood disease. It's part of our nature. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And sin is in the blood. Sin is in our nature. We're born sinners. Psalm 51 and verse 5, the psalmist says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He's simply saying, not that the conception of a child is sinful, but he's simply saying, when I was conceived in the womb, my very nature, human nature that was being formed, it contained sin. It was in my nature. It's in my blood. And it soon comes out, as we read in Psalm 58 and verse 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb to God, and they go astray as soon as they be born." Sin is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And it was incurable by man. Man had no cure for sin. Job says, and several verses in Job speaks much about that. But Job says in Job chapter 15 and verse 14, "What is man that he should be clean? Or he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous?" It says in Job, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." So we're born with a disease, a defilement called sin. And that sin governs and controls us, our nature, because that's our nature, to sin. It's amazing how people follow their natures. I remember when we were boys, we used to catch these little rabbits, and we'd try to tame them, but you know, you couldn't tame those little things. They had a wild nature. As soon as they got around to it, they were able to take off on me. Just reading in the paper today about a girl down in Cambodia, I think it was, who had been lost for 18 years in the jungle. She was 8 years old. She disappeared. And 18 years afterward, she come crawling out on her whole four, naked, dirty, filthy, came crawling out to a garbage can somewhere to get something to eat. And they found her, and she had a scar on her arm. Her parents identified her as their daughter. 18 years. And this only happened quite recently. And they find that she's trying to go back into the jungles again because her nature, that's the nature she grew up. She can't even talk. She can't even converse with people because she can't talk. Her nature is that of the jungles, and she wants to go back. So the human nature, we sin. It comes natural. You never have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. People don't have any problem doing what's wrong. It just comes natural. And that's a disease, and that's a disease that is incurable by man. No man can cure that disease. No religion can clear that disease. Just this past week, I think only once in every 12 years, supposedly there was a battle between some Hindu god and the devil, and something fell in the Ganges River, and every 12 years there's cleaning from sin, cleansing from sin in that river, and just, I believe, this past week, 10 million Hindus rushed down into the Ganges River to be baptized to cleanse them from their sins, thinking that's going to clean them from their sins. And they believe that. And I don't doubt their sincerity. 10 million people went down into the waters and was baptized, and 70 million more got some of the waters brought to them who couldn't make it to baptize themselves. That's man's effort to try to cleanse himself from their sins. And it won't work. It doesn't work. This woman had a disease that no man could cure. Notice, she says, she had suffered many things from many physicians, doctors. They had tried everything to cure her of this disease, but it just didn't work. And religion cannot cure people of the disease called sin. Nobody can cure that disease. No philosophy, no religion, no psychiatry or anything like that can cure people of sin. It's an incurable disease. So the first thing we can learn from this disease, from the disease of sin, is that only Christ can cure us from our sin disease. It's only Christ and His precious blood that can cleanse us from all sin. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 22, and 9 rather, in verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, actually removal, and you could even add in there cleansing from sin. It's the only way a sinner can be cleansed from their sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says the same thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The book of Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through His blood. What? Even the forgiveness of sins. And sin can only be cured by the Savior that suffered and bled and died for those sins on Calvary that we were singing about. And that's why we could sing Christ as the Savior of sinners. He's the only Savior of sinners. So we learn then, first and foremost, a lesson that is absolutely necessary for a sinner to be saved is that there is no cure for the disease of sin apart from Christ. And it's seen in this woman's physical disease that she had at that particular time. Now, that's number one. Another lesson we can learn about that I want to point out, is down in verse 31. There was a whole multitude of people thronging her, thronging Jesus, eh? There was what was called, I believe in another gospel, a press. They were just pressing around the Lord. Great multitudes of people were all pressing around the Lord. Now, it isn't reasonable to believe that they were all physically well. But none of them seemed to touch the Lord but this woman. Great crowds around the Lord Jesus, but only this one little woman made her way through that crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. Now, this another lesson we can learn from this, that it's possible to be close to Christ and not touch him. We got multitudes of people, I believe, like that. They believe about Christ. They go to church, but they never come into really contact with Christ. They'll say they believe about him. They'll even say they believe the gospel, and likely they do, as far as giving a mental assent to the gospel. And they might live in a Christian home. They might function in a Christian environment. But they're just all around the Lord, as it were. But they've never really touched him. The only one that was cured out of this mob was the woman that touched the hem of his garment. The multitudes of people that even profess to be saved that had never touched the hem of his garment. They've never made a contact with Christ. And that's sad. There's no doubt that the masses of people that fills churches in America and Canada today are like these, they're like this great multitude that's just all around the Lord and listening to probably to the reading of the scriptures and praying about the Lord and talking about the Lord, who have never really touched the hem of his garment. That's sad. So number one, we can learn from this little account that there is no cure for this woman's disease apart from Christ. He's the only one who has a cure. And he's the only one that has a cure for my sin and your sin. There is no other cure, but it's not an automatic cure. He must be contacted. He must be touched. Those who are great multitudes that are round about him must have believed about him. They were following him. Great multitudes are following him. He saw them in Matthew chapter 9. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd and had compassion on them. Those great multitudes in Matthew chapter 8 had nothing to eat. Those great multitudes, eventually many of them left him. And when he went to the cross, even the disciples, about all of the disciples, forsook him. Many people around the Lord during his life on earth, but very few that really made a contact with him and really touched him. Now, the contact this woman made was physical. We can't make a physical contact with the Lord, but we can touch the Lord by our faith. When we come to see we have an incurable disease that we can't save ourselves, that we're doomed if we die the way we are, and then we come true repentance of our sins and wanting to be saved from our sins, not in our sins, and put our trust completely in the person of Christ, he is able to cure us of that blood disease. He's able to cleanse us from all sin. He's able to give us not only a cleansing from all sin, forgiveness for all of our sins, a remission, a removal of all of our sins, but he can give us the gift of eternal life that we need to live with him forever. That touch, of course, is with the heart. Not with the hand like this woman. It's with the heart. She knew if she knew in herself, there's three things about her. She heard about Jesus in verse 27. That's necessary to be saved. She came to him in the press, and she touched him. Three distinct things. Now we have to hear about Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have to do more than hear about him. We have to come to him as a sinner who has an incurable disease, and we have to come to him. And we can't come to him physically with our feet. Walking down a church aisle, or signing a card, or even saying a little prayer, isn't enough to save you. It's when the heart, man believeth with the heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, Philip told the eunuch, thou mayest. It's when the heart believes, trusts in the person of Christ. That's how you touch him. That's how you touch him. It's not words. You can say a little prayer and you can be saved. And you can say a little prayer and not be saved. But you can't trust Christ with all your heart and ever be lost. That's an impossibility. You can do anything else in the world and you can be lost. But you'll never be lost if you really realize I've got an incurable blood disease called sin. I need to be forgiven of all my sins. I need to be cleansed from all those sins, and I can't cleanse myself. And when you trust him with all your heart, not enough to be close to him, and it's not enough to be in the press, in the crowd around that's thronging him, and you must touch him, and you must touch him by faith, and you must touch him with all your heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now the next verse reverses that order and puts it the right way. The reverse of that order is, with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto or about that salvation. Very simply, the ear is what takes in the message of the gospel. The heart is what touches out and embraces that gospel. And the tongue is what tells out that gospel. Those are the three parts of the human body that has to do with God's salvation. They're all in Romans chapter 10. So, number one, there's no cure for this woman apart from Christ. Number two, it's possible to be among the crowd that's thronging him and still not be saved. Number three, she touched him in desperation. She was desperate. She spent all of her money. She visited all the doctors. And she was not even no better, but it says she was growing worse. She was getting worse. This woman was dying, and she realized she was dying. She was desperate. So she made her way through that crowd, totally ignoring the crowd, just made her way through the crowd, and she got near enough to the Lord Jesus. And she'd already said, I heard about him, and said, I'm going to come to him, and I'm going to touch him. And I know, she said, when I touch him, I'm going to be cured. That's faith. Very simple, wasn't it? So she was desperate. She came in her desperation. When we come to the Lord and present ourselves to him as somebody that's turned over a new leaf or trying to live a better life or going to church or something like that, that's not acceptable to the Lord. The Lord doesn't want anything from us. We have nothing to give to the Lord that would please him. Our own heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We come to the Lord in our desperation with nothing. We're just a helpless, lost, guilty sinner. And we just come to the Lord. She believed before she came that she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. So the simple lessons is this. No cure apart from Christ. Possible to be in the crowd around Christ and still not be saved. But we must touch him in our desperation. We are without strength. We are absolutely unable to save ourselves from one sin that we ever committed. Quitting them isn't enough, because God remembers that which is past. Now, another thing, he knew who touched. He knew who touched him. He knew who touched him. And he told this woman, he gave her that blessed assurance in verse number 34, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now that word whole is the same word, I understand, same language used of that saved. Thy faith has saved thee. Salvation is a healing, in a sense. It's a making whole. It's a cure of our sin disease. This woman was cured of a physical disease, but it's a cure of our sin disease. So Christ knew who touched her. He could say, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish," in John chapter 10 and verse 28. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. This woman was very secure when she touched the hem of his garment. He not only knew who touched and who belonged to him here, but she knew that. She knew in herself that she had been healed of that disease. It says there that the word feeling is used there, but in verse number 29, "Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She felt, she knew that she was healed of that plague. And when you come to Christ as a lost, guilty sinner, and you come in your desperation, salvation begins when your efforts end. Talking to a man the other day, goes to church, believes in everything that's being taught, pays into the church, supports it, but he doesn't know whether he's saved or not. Very obvious to me that that man is trying to be saved. And you can't be saved that way. He thinks if he can do good, it might save him. It doesn't work that way. Just recently, Jerry Falwell, a TV evangelist, whose Liberty College is $153 million in the red. Terrible. Suppose the Lord comes and takes that man to be, and he's going to leave a $150 million debt behind him. Some man gave him $70 million on that debt. Almost half of it. And the reason he gave him that $70 million, this rich man was, the one I read on his webpage, was he thought it would assure him of a way into heaven. He was doing a good deed, giving $70 million to help the cause. And it would help him into heaven. How desperate people are, and yet they won't come to Christ. And if you're desperate about your soul salvation, don't go to any other source. Come to the place we were talking about, Calvary. The place where Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross to save you from your sins. Come there by simple faith. Nothing mysterious about it. Just knowing, fully knowing I'm a sinner and I've sinned against God. And if I continue in my sins, I'm going to be lost forever and forever. I'm going to hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And come to realize that and put your trust and what Christ has done for you. And you'll be like this woman. You'll know that you'll be cured of that disease. Because that's what faith is. It's that simple. Just trusting Him as your personal Savior. So she knew that she was cured. And he knew that she was cured. And that's exactly what happens when a sinner and a Savior meets one another. The Savior comes to the sinner comes to the Savior. The Savior comes to the sinner first, really, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, and speaks to the sinner, and the sinner responds and comes to the Savior. And when one sinner and one Savior meet one another and receive one another, that's salvation. That's salvation. It's a reception. It's just simple faith in what he has done for me and for you on the cross of Calvary. I trust tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, and you're exercised about these things at all, that first you'll realize, like this woman, that there's absolutely nobody, including myself, that can help me to be saved from this terrible disease called sin. And I'm going to turn away from everything else. I'm going to get to the end of my rope, and I'm going to put my trust in Christ as my Savior, and he's going to save me. The moment I trust him, he's going to save me from my sins. The Bible says, believe, trust, rely, depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the promise. After you embrace that promise and believe that promise and accept that Christ, then it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's not a promise. That's a fact. That's a fact. This woman believed that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. She touched, that's what she believed. She did the touching. That's her faith in action. And she was made whole. She knew she was made whole. It was a fact after she touched him. When you trust Christ as your Savior, then salvation is no longer a promise to you.